Well, last fall, an Idaho Fish and Game team found Mississippi ghost shrimp in the Boise River while researching the trout population. The shrimp are still there, which means they survived several spawning cycles in an Idaho winter. And while they provide a tasty meal for local trout, there's always concern when a non-native species of any animal or plant is introduced to a different ecosystem. In addition to upsetting the natural habitat, this can lead to substantial economic damages, crops, and stock animals. And joining us to discuss the impact of invasive species on Idaho is Nick Zerflew. He is Section Manager Invasive Species with the Idaho State Department of Agriculture. Welcome.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for having us.
So why should we worry when a plant or animal is introduced to a new environment? You know, nature just takes its course, right?
In a sense, it does. But we tend to worry about invasive species coming into an area that they're not native to because they tend to come into the area without any natural checks or balances. What we have a tendency to see is these invasive species, we coined a term them, they have a tendency to outcompete native species, causing some extensive environmental damage, depending on the species, as well as damages to the economy. And those impacts are diverse, they're wide, they can impact several different industries in the state of Idaho and the Pacific Northwest.
Well, I'd love to dig deeper into those, but first I want to identify what we're talking about. And there are some that are aquatic as well. And you brought a sample in today. This is a tiny, gosh, it's about the size of my fingernail. It's a quagga mussel. How could these guys, this little, really have an effect?
Right. When we try to identify invasive species, we turn to our invasive species statute or our noxious weed statute in the state, and you'll see a list of common name and scientific names. It is all taxa, so you'll see everything from mammals to fish to pathogens to this mollusk, such as the quagga mussel. And we specifically list them out and therefore can take regulatory action to the ones that are listed on the on those two lists.
So as far as those lists and as far as those mussels that you brought in, you mentioned, why would boat inspections be important? What's the connection there?
So one of the connections that we make with an invasive species, whichever species it is we try to make the connection of how it gets transferred around or what's the vector of transport. So why we're performing boat inspections is we're concerned about aquatic invasive species, primarily quagga and zebra mussels, which are native to Europe. They transported over into Great Lakes region in the late 80s, and then therefore they continue on west. And these species, specifically the quagga and zebra mussels, they transport overland on recreational boats or water equipment, along with other aquatic invasive species like pathogens and aquatic plants. And so we strategically set up watercraft inspection stations at corridors coming into the state to try to intercept species such as quagga and zebra mussels before they launch in Idaho waters. That's the main intent.
Well, let's look to some land-based animals. And as you said, the expense of these things. It seems like the really expensive invaders are a lot of these insects. Of course, we're agricultural, we're a crop-raising state. Tell me about the impact of bugs like the apple ermine moth or European corn borer, all these colorful names. What do they do to our industry here?
Right. Agricultural pests and insects can cause great havoc and impacts to the agricultural community. This is mainly through coming out of their native range into, say, Idaho, into, say, a cornfield where they're not native and therefore they can do quite well, and they'll drastically decrease the yields. You'll get less corn, say, for example, out of your crop. One of the way that the state tries to mitigate or manage this effect is we have certain CAPS programs that we have throughout the state to monitor invasive insects, say the Japanese beetle, which has come up several times. So we'll have traps out looking, surveying for these whatever insect it is, and then we'll go from there.
And I think some of our listeners may recognize those yellow traps you see around residential neighborhoods as well. Well, can you put a dollar amount on the economic impact of these insects?
Right. The dollar amount, it can drastically vary depending on the species. And so, for example, quagga and zebra mussel, which we were discussing earlier, that would have an economic impact. A study that was produced several years ago was $94 million to the state of Idaho annually, not including agriculture. And so it really depends on the specific species and what host of native organisms, say a plant or an animal, that would cause impact towards. It's a larger picture trying to place an economic analysis on invasive species in general. Usually we try to drill down a specific species that we're looking at.
What are one of the most costly ones as you drill down to a specific species?
Right. So we're generally mostly concerned about quagga and zebra mussels for the invasive species program because it does cause quite a bit of economic damage.
We're discussing invasive species with Nick Zerflew, Section Manager of Invasive Species with the Idaho State Department of Agriculture. How has this affected you? You can reach us at idahomatters@boisestate.edu and on Twitter at KBSX915. Try the hashtag IdahoMatters. So, you know, as consumers, really, and we go up, recreational boating, all these things, we sometimes are unwitting participants in transporting these species. I mean, just like buying flowers at our garden retailer, what are things you tell consumers to watch out for?
So this is a call to action for all Idahoans or the general public across Pacific Northwest is really have a good understanding of knowing what you grow, knowing what you're planting in your backyard, knowing your equipment quite well. Therefore, if you have a pair of hiking boots and you know those hiking boots very well, so you'll be able to identify when a noxious weed seed is attached to those boots. Or if you're a watercraft recreationalist and you have your boat, know that boat quite well. Therefore, if you have zebra or quagga mussels attached to the boat, then you will know, and it's cause to action or a call to action, I should say, that be willing to do something about it. You know, remove those organisms before transporting them to another water body or another watershed, or if you're talking about terrestrials, to another habitat where they're not intended to be.
And those quagga mussels are so small, it's like looking at your body for ticks, but they do create en masse on the bottom of your boat.
Correct, yeah. And our inspectors are trained to identify mussels at the very smallest level, what we call a juvenile mussel. They're about the size of a grain of sand, which can be very difficult to detect. But even an organism that starts out that small, or even smaller, the villager, the baby microscopic form of the quagga mussels, which are undetectable by the naked eye, they can cause huge havoc on, say, agricultural irrigation pumps or hydroelectric power systems. Effectively clean draining and drying watercraft before they're transported is a really good way to reduce or mitigate the risk of transporting aquatic invasive species.
You're in tune with Idaho Matters. This is Nick Zerflew from the Department of Agriculture here in the state. So it's summer, it's June, school's out, it's the time of year when people go camping. And firewood, we learned, can be a transmitter of invasive species. In what way and what should we look out for?
Yeah, so recreationalists such as campers can unknowingly or unwantingly transport forest exotic pests, bugs, insects, for example. So they'll get some firewood in Virginia and they want to go to this great camping trip in the Sawtooth National Forest, for example, and they bring their firewood with them. We have a campaign in Idaho that says buy it where you burn it. Therefore, if you want to go camping in Stanley, buy your firewood sourced out of the Stanley or the Sawtooth National Forest. Therefore, you're not bringing in exotic pests that could potentially be in your firewood, but you don't know that. Source them locally.
Source them locally. Buy it where you burn it, we're hearing. So here's back into the science. According to our Mountain West News Bureau, in the battle against the invasive plant tamarisk, scientists brought in new ground troops, beetles. And then we hear that some conservationists worry about those beetles and their impact on a bird, southwestern willow flycatcher. It's almost like this bug's arm race, and we keep getting bigger and bigger. How effective are other animals to controlling populations?
Correct. A good way to mitigate or to treat infestations is what we call biocontrol. Generally, the insects that, you know, your agent that you're wanting to release on a noxious weed, for example, say tamarisk, those insects, those agents are vetted. They're thoroughly researched by CABI, a group that is solely into this purpose. and release them in a way that they would do a biocontrol of that infestation of noxious weeds, whatever it may be. Generally, this is for a larger infestation, say tamarisk that you see throughout the southern Idaho, large infestations that other mechanisms for control, say chemical control or mechanical control, cultural control, treatment options may not be effective.
It's amazing that these bugs get their marching orders, and then we worry about them if they get too large, too. What about bees? This is something that's kind of engaged our passions over the last decade and has some scientists scratching their heads. There are insects like the bee mite, creating havoc on that pollinating bee population, which you know we require for crops.
Correct. Yeah, we rely heavily on pollinators throughout the state for agricultural commodities. Those little bees are hard workers. You know, as a beekeeper myself, this is one of the really the strong points that I take home, just trying to keep a very healthy hive. Exotic pests that would infiltrate a bee colony are always of concern, especially for pollinators that have such a large impact, have such a big job to do on the landscape as far as Idaho agriculture. Those are always of a concern for us.
You know, in our time remaining, I imagine you probably get some calls for exotic animals, too. You hear about pet owners releasing overgrown pythons into the wilderness in the Florida Everglades, or a kangaroo that was once loose in downtown Midland, Texas. What issues ever pop up in this state?
So the pet trade, we have a campaign called Don't Let It Loose. It's a call to pet owners, once again, to know the pet that they're getting prior to receiving it, know the husbandry, what it takes to care for this animal, whether it's on a state invasive species list or not, whether it's native to the area. And then once you have that animal not on the invasive species list, know how to take care for it and don't let it loose once you're finished doing whatever you're going to do with this animal. There's other options as far as not letting loose into the Idaho landscapes, natural areas where it could cause damage as invasive species. There's other ways to take care of that.
Nick, we listened to our listener mailbag just a moment ago, and somebody asked, what about, in that first segment, wild horses, wild Mustangs? Are they an invasive species?
Not on our invasive species statute. No, they're not. They provide a different role to the landscape, and there's folks that are working on that issue solely, but they're not under our umbrella, no.
That's great. We've been talking to Nick Zerflew, the Section Manager of Invasive Species with the Idaho State Department of Agriculture. Thanks, Nick.
You bet. Thank you. Thank you for having us.